I've entitled this, Whose Battle Is It? Well, Father God, I thank you. It's your battle right up front. We know that. And Father God, I'm asking you right now that you really speak your heart to the people. And that, Father God, that you bring them to a place of understanding of who they truly are in you, and they keep it. They don't lose it, they keep it. And Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your angelic host. And we just thank you, Father God, that you're truly in this sanctuary in all of your glory. And you are doing a great and a mighty works. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did y'all realize that winter starts the 22nd or the 21st or 22nd of this month? God said his glory is going to fall when? I hope it's not next fall. We don't have too many more days before fall's gone. I'm concerned about that. Are we so dense that we have to wait another year before the glory falls and the miracles start? Because for years you've been telling me it's going to fall in the fall. And it hasn't fallen yet. You're in its fullness. I hope we don't have to wait another year. That would be so devastating. In that year, how many souls will Satan take to hell? Because we couldn't get it together enough for the glory to fall before the fall ends. Come on. Think about this. What are you doing with your walk with God? Are you really making a headway? Or are you stagnant? Just like God said, there's a spirit of funk in the atmosphere. And you talk to people. They don't want to do nothing. They can't get up. They can't go to bed. They can't read their word. They can't write. They can't do their housework. They can't do that. That's a spirit of funk, right? And when God spoke that to me, I thought, that's exactly what's going on. So you know you have it. Get rid of it. You're the one that's going to have to get rid of it. I can't get rid of it for you. Right? Do you see that in people wherever you go? It's terrible, isn't it? It's lethargic and everything else. It's all mixed together and just keeping people bound. And well, we need to get ourselves set free. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17 says, you will not need to fight in this battle. How many times has God told us that? Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. The battle belongs to the Lord, and I've entitled it, Whose Battle Is It? In this passage, God is talking to King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. They're about to be attacked by three enemies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Menuites. Jehoshaphat had to be worried about how his people could defend themselves in such a battle. But God knew exactly what Jehoshaphat was thinking. He said, you will not have to fight in this battle. How many of you God has spoken that to, and you still stick your two cents in there? You know, you're still trying to fight the battle. And and the enemy is very sly, and he can get you in there before you can even think about it. So you have to constantly remind yourself that no matter what you go through, the battle belongs to the Father. What God tells Jehoshaphat in this passage, and what he would remind us today, is this: the battle is not yours, it's mine, is what God's saying. You don't have to fight in it. Sometimes, you know, we just think, well, I have to do something. Pray. You know, and don't pray your prayers. This is what I want God to say. You know, you really need to go back to the Word and say, Father God, your will be done. I do that with everything I pray about. I say, Father God, in the end, your will be done. Because you know exactly how this thing is playing out. And we don't, right? But we're always trying to tell God how he should do it. And it gets you in trouble. In other words, it's God's problem. Let him solve it. The fact is, if you are God's child, then your problems are his problems. And he's much better at fighting your battles and solving your problems than you will ever be. Something came up in my life a month ago, or maybe 2 months ago now. And I said, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to think about it. The battle's yours. You you know what's true and you know what's false. And you said you would vindicate me, so I'm not even going to think about it again. I don't care what anybody says. It's God's problem, not mine. And I really mean that when I say that. And I give it to God, let him have it. All right, our job is to trust God to work it all out. Perhaps the reason we have so many tired, fatigued, and discouraged Christians is because we think it all depends on me. No, it doesn't. The day we resign as general manager of the universe, we are going to find it doesn't fall apart. Right? The day we resign as general manager of the universe, we're going to find that it doesn't fall apart. You can relax in faith, trusting that God is able to run things without your help. Twice in this passage, it says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. When you face a seemingly impossible situation, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. A lot of us are facing these type of problems right now. If you listen to what the world's saying, you're in deep trouble. But if you just give it to God and let God handle it, because he knows how he wants to handle it, he knows how he wants to turn it out. If you just give it to God and walk away from it, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be free. Amen. You will really be free. Ask yourself this, has God ever lost a battle? No, he doesn't lose battles. I've lost many. There's an important phrase in verse 17. God tells Joseph that, take your positions and stand firm. You know the truth. God knows the truth. And the people who are coming against you, just assume they know the truth. So we just stand still and let God take care of it. And he will. All right, what does it mean to stand firm? It means to have a mental attitude of quiet confidence. It is never God's will for you to run from a difficult situation. I don't care if you even did something wrong. I always go back to the young man who came in. He was on drugs and he wasn't saved. And he came in there into the church when I had it at home. And I prophesied to him that I said, you have a court. You have to go to court tomorrow. And I said, God wants you to know you're never going to see the judge. And you're going to walk out of there a free man. And he said, I was crazy. But he went to work went to court the next day, walked in there, and the secretary said, you're free. We can't find your paperwork, so you're free. Am I going to see the judge? No, you're not going before the judge. Your record's clear. Made a believer out of him, and he ended up having a church. So, he was in a difficult situation. He said, there's no way. With everything I'm facing, there's no way I'm not even going to talk to a judge, let alone walk out of there free. But it happened just like God said. See, so what I'm saying is, even if you are guilty, God's able to cover you. All right? I'm not telling you go out there and do something stupid and expect God to cover you. I'm just saying God works that way. I've discovered that when I run from a difficult situation, God always brings it back around and gives me another chance. Because God, at one time in my life, and I never want to do it again, God said, you can go around this mountain as often as you want to go. And when you're finished, run around the mountain. I'll be waiting for you right here, and we get this thing straightened out. And so I thought, well, then I'm through going around the mountain right this second. And God took care of it. So I said, I've discovered that when I run from a difficult situation, inevitably God always brings it back around, gives me another chance. And why? Because God wants us to learn, and he wants us to teach us through experience that in every situation he is sufficient. Read that again. Because what God wants us to learn, and he wants to teach us through experience that in every situation he is sufficient. He is competent and capable, and he will meet our needs in that situation. And don't be afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith. I hope that you can grab a hold of that tonight, because I'm here this morning because I'm here to tell you that I serve this type of a God. I serve a God who has even brought my grandkids out of one situation after another. They should have died. But I asked God, I said, send an angel and cover them. This is what I did. Cover them and bring them home safely. Next thing I know, they're coming home. They're walking through the door. And they tell me, I shouldn't even be here. I should be dead. I don't understand what happened. God sent an angel and covered them. Instead of thinking, well, they're out there. Let them get what they deserve. You know, no. You need to start really using your angels. You need to start really covering whoever you're praying for, and that God will keep them safe. My kids always, they knew that something supernatural happened. They knew that. And eventually they say, well, God was there with me. You know, they've been brought up in the ways of the Lord. You stand firm on two things. The character of God, he's faithful. He does not bring us this far just to let us down. These are the things you need to stand on, right? He's faithful. He doesn't bring you out on a limb and then cut off the limb. Have faith in the nature and character of God. Then if the truth of his word we can stand on. God's word is faithful. You can count on the promises found in the Bible. Not your own things you make up. But what's ever in the Bible is what you can count on. All right, then we need to stand still. How many times has God said, you stand still? You know, he said to me one day, I said, how long? You know. But he says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord at work on your behalf. In other words, watch him fight this battle for you. Because he is out there fighting your battles for you if you allow him to. Remember who the battle belongs to. All right? Trust that he's able to deliver you and watch him do it. You know, you have to really, really believe that God's going to do this for you, or he can't do it. I've been with him long enough here in this born-again experience, and I know that he's able to do anything that he says he's going to do. All right? You have to become a friend with God. You have to be open and honest with him. And you have to go to him and talk to him. And you, and then you become really close friends, and you know, sky's the limit. I've heard him say to some of you, I just love to have you come and talk to me. I love to hear your voice. And you have to understand he does love to hear your voice. And you have to understand he is there for you. Does he chastise me? Absolutely. He doesn't want me to go to hell. He wants to teach me things, and sometimes I'm bullheaded like you are, and he has to chastise me. Come on, we're all the same, right? Well, no, we're not. We all have different personalities, but we are bullheaded at times. Amen? I don't know where am I at. Point number two, a baptism into destiny. And God said, a great battle is about to take place for the kingdom positions of my people. Satan's plan is to unleash his fury against my people to try and disqualify them from attaining to the fullness of their kingdom positions. You see what he just said? A great battle is about to take place for the kingdom positions of my people. Satan's trying to take you out of your place that God has you in. Satan's plan is to unleash his fury against my people to try and disqualify them from attaining to the fullness of their kingdom positions. But if my people will seek me for a fresh baptism of the Spirit, I will baptize them with the fire of their destiny, and they will come forth in the fullness of their kingdom positions. See that? The reason, the season that is before you is a season of war. It is a season in which a church will be baptized in the fire of my Spirit, and this fire will destroy the works of the enemy that will come against my people. Tell my people to seek the baptism of fire that I will now release upon those who desire to receive the fullness of their kingdom position. God has released a fire on us many times over the years, but now he has a new fire that he wants to release upon us. he says, so seek the baptism of fire that I will now release upon those who desire to receive the fullness of their kingdom position. My people must be equipped for war because the battle will intensify. I say receive the fire by which you will overcome the enemy. It's overcoming, a total overcoming time. And God has this new fire that he wants to baptize us with, that we totally overcome the enemy 100%. Nothing held back. And I'm hearing God say the pressures are going to get greater than they are today against my true followers. And the enemy's going to throw at you everything that he has. He's trying to trip you up. He's trying to come in the back door and trip you up. And he's saying, you must be strong in me. And you must know who I am in your life and what I can do for you. Or if you don't, the enemy's going to come and take you out. And how many can really say, I'm really battling hard right now. And the enemy is trying to come in the back door. And the enemy is trying to trip me up on all sides. See, be honest with where you're at. That's where I'm at. And I have to keep rebuking the enemy, telling me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. Because I know what my God has said. And I cried out just 2 days ago, God, I need a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt like you've drained? And I said, I need a new infilling. And if we don't ask God, he's not going to give it to us. We don't have because we don't ask. And we have to ask God. And I know what I need. And, I'm not going to stand out there and act like I'm all that then some. Even to myself, I'm in the bedroom all alone. Because I know what's going on in my life. And God, I need more of your Spirit. And God, I need strength. I need wisdom. You know, you do get depleted of these things whenever you're warring all the time. And, this unity thing, I'm really sure we're about 100% unity. But every time we get that close to unity, the enemy starts again. Bombarding against everybody. And everybody gets to talk about everybody. And everybody gets upset. We need to stop that. Don't allow the enemy to do that. And stay in total and complete unity. And the enemy cannot fight against total unity. That'll destroy the enemy. And we need to get that in our homes too, total unity in our homes. And until we do that, the enemy has an open door that he can come through. I'm just hearing that he can do that in your business. And if you don't stay in unity with God in this, then the enemy's going to come in through that open door and he's going to start some destruction. So you need to stay in unity with God and be listening to him and flowing where he wants you to flow, not where you want you to flow or where somebody else wants you to flow. See how this works? And see, some of us don't stay in unity with God. We're too busy letting other people tell us what we should be doing and not doing. And it has to be God telling you what to do. God said many times in Jeremiah 12:5, if you have run with a footman, and how many times has God said this to us? If you have run with a footman and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? If I can't contend with you little guys, how am I going to contend with some big giant people in Christ come through the door? You know what I'm saying? That I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be overtaken. And God gave me this scripture quite a few years ago and just recently gave it to me again. It's all right, God. I understand what you're trying to tell me. I'm growing weary in well-doing. And if I grow weary in well-doing, I'm not going to be able to deal with the bigger things that come my way. If we grow weary in small things, we think they're mountains, but they're really not. The enemy's making us make them look like mountains, but they're really not. They're small, piddly little things, nitpicking things. And we have to not give into that stuff. We all do it. And I bet God gets tired of this little lighthouse church. Can't continue to come in. I'm so sorry. Repent. We're constantly, I hope we are, constantly repenting because we nitpick. The Jordan represents a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We must be ready to be baptized with fresh fire if we are going to withstand the enemy's assaults. I just have to say this. Sister Shirley said to me the other day, I can't find anybody to come and work on my car. My car is broke down. Well, God knows who can work on your car. Give that car to God and say, God, you know where the mechanic's at. Send him my way. And then trust him to do that. Because you and I both know we're not mechanics. If you were at one time, you're not today. You know, what we used to do, we don't do anymore, right? So we just have to get, these are things you think are not important, but they're very important to God. And he wants to see you trust him with everything in your life. I done lost my place. All right, the thief comes to steal our kingdom destiny. And you find that in John 10:10, where the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the thief is after your destiny. He's after your calling. Quit grumbling, Alan. He's grumbling. This is the truth. He's going to constantly plague us until Jesus Christ comes again. You might as well get used to it. It's just going to happen. And God tells us, don't grow weary. The Lord is promising us a victory in Joshua 3:14-15. Says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. So Joshua, as a type of Jesus, led his people to victory against Jericho. And I take my position up here very, very seriously, and I know that if I don't keep myself right, you guys won't ever get blessed. And I know that I have to be just like Joshua. I have to dip my feet into the Jordan. I have to cross the Jordan so I can bring all of you with me. We are a forerunner church, so we have to pave the way so we can bring others who don't know what we know with us. And the more I talk to different people or read different what they're put on the internet, God has told us this stuff a long time ago. And they're just now hearing it. And so we've already paved the way, even though they didn't trust us or believe us, now they're believing it because now they're living it. So we have to keep being the forerunners. We have to keep going forward. No matter how much they ridicule us, we have to go ahead and make the way for others to come through. Amen. All right, I said Joshua, a type of Jesus, led his people to victory against Jericho. Okay, well, let's stop here and say this. You guys in your homes, you have to be the forerunner in your home. You're the one that's supposed to bring peace so the rest of the family will follow you. If you bring strife and division and hate and all that stuff, that's what your people's going to follow. You know, that's just what your people are going to follow. You know, this young man that's missing, his mother was a drug addict when she had him. She was a drug addict all his 20-some years of his life. So all he knew was drugs. He thought that was life. And now he's missing. They think somebody killed him. But it happens to be a relative of Teresa's and Johnny's. But, you know, and I wept over that little boy because his parents did not teach him of God. And if he is dead, then he died believing he was living the right kind of life. Nobody ever took the word to him. Nobody ever really lived the life before them. You can go and say, you know, you need to go to church, but are you doing drugs? Are you cussing, drinking while you're speaking? They're not going to go to church. You're not leading them to God. You're keeping them stagnant right where they're at. And so, you know, we have to be the light in the darkness and to bring the people forth. Just like you, Alan, you have to remain the light for your daughter. No matter what you see, you have to remain the light. You've taught her the ways of Christ. And God, he's bringing the prodigals in. God's going to bring her in. I think he promised you that. But it's only because you remain the light. and you didn't vacillate, and she didn't see you saying one thing and then living a different type of lifestyle. Are you understanding that, guys? You're never going to win anybody to Christ if you're not being like Jesus. You just aren't. I'm honest with you people. I let you know when I fall, and I let you know when I get back up. I let you know when I stumble trying to do what God's trying to get me to do. But God's always been faithful, and he's always picked me back up again. And you know, he's always said, come on, you can do this thing. And he says, you have souls yet to bring in to my kingdom. And so I don't get back up being ignorant and rude and being angry. I get back up saying, God, just give me more strength. Do you know how much strength Jesus had to ask for to do the thing he did? And when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he even, his blood, his sweat was great drops of blood. That was quite an ordeal he was going to go through, and he knew it. But he went through it. So what you're going through might be quite an ordeal. Jesus did that so we could all be saved. And what you might be going through quite an ordeal in your life with family members or something, but you have to do what Jesus did and stay the course, and you'll win them to Christ. They aren't waiting for you to fall. Well, they are waiting for you to fall. You don't want them to see you fall. You want them to see you being strong and marching forward no matter what's going on in your life. All right? Jericho fell because of the anointing in the shout of the people who had crossed the Jordan. It's in the shout. God told us it's always in the shout. And his victory is always in the sound. And I love that song, Strike the Ground. I love that song. And it breaks up more demonic whatever than inviting the Holy Spirit in. And we already have the Holy Spirit here. And I'm not belittling the Holy Spirit. We already have the Holy Spirit here. First of all, we put the show for. And then we, you know, we invite the Holy Spirit in. And now we have to destroy the works of the enemy. Right, you know, if I keep saying Holy Spirit, I'm saying I didn't believe it the last time I asked. And the Holy Spirit is here. So I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit isn't. All right, we have to become the Elijah Company. In these days, the Lord is raising up an Elijah Company that will confront Jezebel's prophets and defeat her attacks against God's people. Read that again. In these days, the Lord is raising up an Elijah Company. He wants us to be that, all right? That will confront Jezebel's prophets and defeat her attacks against God's people. Elijah was a prophet who was baptized in the fire of the Lord. Elijah was a prophet who was baptized in the fire of the Lord. If you know anything about Elijah, he was a great prophet of God. In 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah calls fire down on two companies of men who were sent by Ahaz, who inquired of Beelzebub. 1 Kings chapter 18 tells the story of how Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal by calling down God's fire. You know, it's time we call down God's fire upon the enemy and destroy the enemy's camp. Instead of saying, oh, well, here I have to go through this battle again. Well, get to fight and quit your whining. You know, I get so sick and tired of whiny Christians. You know, quit your whining and just fight the devil and tell him where he has to go. We also need the baptism of fire. John the Baptizer prophesied these words in Matthew 3:11-12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Anytime you get baptized, you should receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be in that baptismal water. If it isn't, I'd find one that had the Holy Spirit in it. Jesus has baptized us with the Holy Spirit, but we also need the baptism of fire. John said that we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire will not only consume the wood, hay, and stubble, which is in 1 Corinthians 3:12-13, but it will destroy the works of the enemy. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it will destroy the works of the enemy. Come on. The anointing of God's fire will be released by the prophetic word in the mouths of God's people. The fire will destroy the plans of God's enemies. Revelation 11, 4 and 5 says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. God is not going to allow anybody. Is it Elijah going to be here in the end of the earth? Elijah. And who's the one that's going to be with him? Enoch. This is what this is talking about. If anybody comes against him, fire is going to be put upon him and kill them. If you really and truly are following God with all of your heart, this is how God looks at you. He looks at you as Elijah's of this day, and he's not going to allow the enemy to come anywhere near you to destroy you. Are you listening? But you have to believe this in your heart. You have to know that you know that you know that God looks at you through those eyes that you're extra special to him. The baptism of fire will equip us to withstand the onslaught of the horsemen, that scripture we read, and observe and preserve our destiny in the kingdom. The prophets of fire are called forth from their personal victory to wage war for the destiny of America, one nation under God. God wants us today to be the prophets of fire, guys. He wants to use us to tear down the darkness in this area. I mean, Delaware is messed up. I mean, the churches are messed up. And God's looking for a group of people who will stay the course and be strong in the Lord and carry his fire and destroy the works of the enemy in this area. Big pastors won't come into Delaware. They say it's too dark, it's too close, they don't want God. It's just all true. And, you know, God, I said to God one time, I said, why do I have to stay here? He said, I need somebody who will stay the course that I can use to destroy the works of the enemy. Are you a somebody? Can God look at you and say, I can use you? Are you really a somebody that God can work through? It takes more than one person. It takes all of us and then some to be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire and go out there and destroy the works of the enemy. All right, for this reason, we have been instructed to seek the baptism of fire. We are to be armed with the fire of God's Spirit that will dress us for battle in the armor of God's light. And Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The light of Christ will be released by the fire of God's anointing, and we should be ready for the battle. And victory is always assured. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were talking about apostles and prophets and evangelists. And they was really, you know, really raising up, praising these apostles and prophets. And then they looked at me and said, and you're an evangelist, in a lowly voice. And I said, thank you, Jesus, to myself. Amen. They only look at me as an evangelist. They don't look at me as an apostle, which God told me I was. They never look to see what this little church is doing because we're too small. We've been here too long, treading the water. They just don't understand the fire that we're receiving. They don't understand how we're going to tear the kingdom of darkness down. Are you going to let them look at Lighthouse and say, they're just evangelists? No, we are fire carriers. And we're going to destroy the works of the enemy in Delaware. God said, lower Delaware. And where else? What? The lower Delmarva Peninsula. When we first started, that's our assignment. People look at us and think we haven't made a mark, but oh yeah, we have. God told me a couple weeks ago, the Lighthouse is now on the map. In other words, the enemy knows about us. And he's upset with us. And the world's going to know about us real soon. Because God said the Lighthouse Church is going to be known all over the world. And God is already working out that out. We don't need to toot our own horn. God is going to, we're the Philadelphia church. God is going to show the people who we've always been. Amen. Come on, guys. You were somebody. You were God's light. You know, you're vessels of honor that God can work through. And you know, I pray so hard for Sister Azra because she has a tumor in her brain. But that girl goes out on the street, she gets up and she dances, she shouts. She's trusting God to take that thing away. And you know, and I said, God, I pray for all the time. I really do. I mean, I know everybody has infirmities, but when you have a tumor in your brain, it's a totally different thing. You know. Because she loves God. And she said, I'm not giving up. So do you have a tumor on your brain too, making you dumb? And you know, saying, God, I'm not giving up. I'm going forth. I don't care what infirmities I have in my body. And we all need healing. We know that. So let's not say, well, I hurt too. I don't care. We all hurt. You know, I'm just using that as an example that, you know, that's bad. That could go bad any day and really mess somebody up. But we're more than that, right? We're warriors, right? We're warriors for Christ. We are fire carriers. And so God said he wants to give us that new fire to bring forth your destiny. So the altar's open for that this morning.